Yate dhanim tatagrecha.
Yate dhanim tatagrecha.
Paschadapyetam idrisham.
Paschadapyetam idrisham.
Yate dhanim tatagrecha.
Yate dhanim tatagrecha.
Paschadapyetam idrisham. This is first on the right, the left side.
This is a two-line verse. I did that one yesterday. Do I want to do it again?
No. Okay, give it to me. I'll do 14. Sargo navavidastasya praprito vaikritastuyaha yaha Kala dravya gunair asya.
Kala dravya gunair asya.
Trividak pratisankramaha. Trividak pratisankramaha. Sargo navavidastasya.
Sargo navavidastasya.
Prakrito vaikritastuyaha.
Prakrito vaikritastasya.
Kala dravya gunair asya.
Kala dravya gunair asya.
Trividak pratisankramaha.
Trividak pratisankramaha.
Sargaha.
Sargaha.
Creation.
Creation.
Navavidaha.
Navavidaha.
Of nine different kinds.
Of nine different kinds.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Its.
Its.
Prakritaha. Material.
Material.
Vaikritaha.
Vaikritaha.
By the modes of material nature.
By the modes of material nature.
To
but.
But. Yaha. That which.
That which.
Kala.
Kala.
Eternal time.
Eternal time.
Dravya.
Dravya.
Matter.
Matter.
Gunaihi.
Gunaihi.
Qualities.
Qualities.
Asya,
its,
trividaha, three kinds, pratisankramaha, annihilation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There are nine different kinds of creations besides the one which naturally occurs due to the interactions of the modes. There are three kinds of annihilations due to eternal time, the material elements, and the quality of one's work. Purport. The scheduled creations and annihilations take place in terms of the supreme will. There are other creations due to interactions of material elements which take place by the intelligence of Brahma. These will be more explicitly explained. At present, only preliminary information is given. The three kinds of annihilation are 1. Due to the scheduled time of the annihilation of the entire universe. 2. Due to a fire which emanates from the mouth of Ananta. And 3. Due to one's qualitative actions and reactions. So now, we're into a discussion of the mechanics of creation and destruction. In other words, what's going on in our world. Earlier, in this very chapter, and in the previous chapter, we were in Vaikuntha. And now we've switched. What is our interest with this? You know, what do we care, material world? This is supposed to be Srimad Bhagavatam. We want to bask in the nectar of Krishna's Leela. What is this? But we have to learn appropriately how to appreciate, how to be actually attracted to Krishna's Leela. Because we have a material attraction,
Therefore, that needs to be rectified first. If we, while still addicted to sense gratification and to sinful activities, things that are abominable in Krishna's eyes, they may be nice to us. We may enjoy our sense gratification, but to Krishna, it disgusts Krishna. It's ashlila is the word, obscene. Sanskrit, something that, you know, so horrible you don't even want to mention it, but to speak of see it. And that's our life. You know, the life we're so horrible that you know nobody wants to even hear about us, but to speak of see us, you know, or smell us. You know? Therefore, we can't enter the spiritual world, and we can't even enter into discussions of the spiritual world. We can't even hear properly. We can't meditate. We can't think properly. We can't hear properly. Nothing we say makes any sense. Because of this material conditioning. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, is trying to bring us back to Krishna, but first of all, we have to get, rectified. We have to be made presentable. We have to become capable of being attracted to Krishna's pastimes. So, therefore, we're hearing about the material world. Why is there an interest in God's, this peculiar pastime? It's a leela. It's the Purusha's leela of creating. But it's not like the all ecstatic leelas, of loving reciprocation. What's the loving reciprocation between Lord Vishnu and the Mahatattva? I mean, there's a glance. He glances at Prakriti, but that's it. It's not something that we, derive great ecstasy from. Hearing about, maybe somebody does, but it is also leela of the Lord. It is transcendental activity, and this is the material world. We can't. We can. Put on Babaji Vesh and run off to Radhakund, but we still full of material desires. And 98% of the devotees have done that. Have left their ISKCON temples and run off to Radhakund, dumped their gurus and picked up some Babaji. They're back again after 6 weeks sometimes, back in the material world, as entangled as ever and more. They just bounce right back. Radhakund has rubber walls, and devotees just bounce right off of it and come back to the material world. Because they try to approach Radhakund with all their material baggage, hiding it. Don't tuck in their dhotis and pretend to be paramahamsas. Nothing wrong with wearing Radhakund Tilak. But I mean, pretending to be much more perfect than you are, and just making a show of not being full of material desires. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You can't fool Maya, and you can't fool Krishna's internal energy. They know exactly where we're at. You can fool everybody else, and you can even collect some money and some followers, but you can't fool Krishna. So therefore, we need to hear. Well, we're going to want to hear about what we're attracted to. So we're still attracted to the material world. Let's hear about what's really going on in the material world. What's behind the scenes. It's like a movie set. Look behind the facade, and you can see the framework. How the movie set's just a two-dimensional facade behind is just some sticks and paper. Like that, let's see what's going on behind the scenes in the material world, and that's what we're being told here. What the material creation actually is. How it's just everything manipulated by these three threads, the modes of nature, gunas. It's like a picture in the Bhagavad Gita of the three modes personified, puppeteers, and the materialistic person, conditioned soul, is a puppet in the hands of those puppeteers, marionette. So that we're learning by the discussion, by hearing, reading, the description of how the creation proceeds from Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and secondary creation is directed by Lord Brahma, So that is being described. We're going to get now. We're now going to be directed into the detailed description of how Brahma carries on his phase of the creation. This is called Visarga, second major topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is of interest to us because whether we want to admit it or not, we're still interested in the material world. So we should study what is the real nature of material creation. And that's what we're being taught here. At the same time, it's also Ishakata. Avatar anucharitam haris chashadavartinam. The descriptions of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and of his devotees. So the Supreme Lord is here as the Purusha avatars, and his devotee is here, his first devotee, Chaturmukh Brahma, is here. So we're learning about the glorious devotional service of Chaturmukh Brahma, how he, despite all obstacles, lack of any clue what to do, he surrendered, did his penances, did his meditation, received the guidance of the Supreme Lord in his heart, and then met Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha directly, got his blessings, and then proceeded successfully with the execution of his devotional service, namely to perform the second aspect, Visarga, second aspect of creation. So this is also glorious activities of the Lord's devotees. So it will... By studying it, we'll also become more attracted to Krishna. Become attracted to Krishna as pure devotees is the best way to become attracted to Krishna. To be a sahaja and pretend to be to have a loving relationship with Krishna while your heart and your external behavior and everything is all contaminated, that's what we call sahaja, cheap imitation of the real thing. To acquire the real thing, pure devotional service, the most practical way is to approach through the devotees. And even in the matter of hearing and chanting, of course it's obvious that we should approach a devotee to get initiation, to get instruction in service, to be engaged in service in the association of devotees. But even in the matter of hearing and chanting, let's read about this. And the Rasalila comes later. And the Govinda Lilamrita and Ujjvala Nilamani, these come later. Yeah. They're written to be read by the devotees who have become fit to understand them, who can actually have a pure attraction to Krishna. Let us purify our attraction by reading Srimad Bhagavatam the way it's presented, one canto at a time. Okay, so I'll stop there. So, any questions or comments?
We generally hear about how we should read Srimad Bhagavatam in succession, and then when we finish the 12th canto, then we go back to first. And then also, Prabhupada though said to read Krishna book every night, but that's only focusing on one canto, so that's not contradictory. Could you explain that?
Well, is that instruction from Prabhupada? I don't even remember it, that you have to read first canto up to the 12th and then start again the first canto. I don't know. I mean, Prabhupada may have presented such a program. I'm sure he did. I just don't remember the exact statement.
There's a preface and an introduction in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in one it mentions that step and step. Then the other one, it mentions that it's just like sugar candy, and you can take it anywhere, and it's still very sweet. But then, that's qualified by saying it's still better to go step by step.
Yeah, I mean, generally we should do a systematic study. But I don't know if Prabhupada meant it as a hard and fast, you know, irrevocable program. You can't step, you know, one step on, you know, to the right or the left. You have to go straight through, you know, and you can't jump ahead one verse. You can't pick up the eighth canto, otherwise you'll be hit by a thunderbolt, you know. I don't think so, no. It's not that strict. The general principle is we should read it systematically from beginning to end. You know, but you can, you know, indulge in a little bit of Krishna book, you know, or pick up another canto. I mean, you can do that. It's not, you know, it's not so rigorous. Yeah. It's just a general principle that we should make a thorough study. And the best way to read a book thoroughly is from the beginning to the end, not backwards, forwards, inside out. You know, you read from the first page to the end. Read any book if you want to read it properly and systematically the way the author intended you to read it. You read from the first page to the last page. You know, some people don't like to do that. You know, they would pick up a book in the middle, you know, read a page here, jump around, but that's not a proper systematic study of any book.
I was just thinking of this one time when the devotees asked Prabhupada, well, one devotee, I think it was in an airport conversation, they said, Prabhupada, how can we please you? And then Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and read Krishna book every day.
Yes. So it's not contradictory. Yes, sir?
I had a quick question.
I'm sorry, just to finish this topic. Just a... from reading the 10th canto that you and the other members of the team put out, as opposed to Krishna book, it's almost like Krishna book is almost like riding a bicycle with training wheels, and that Srila Prabhupada seems to go the extra mile, so to speak, to sort of cushion us a little bit from misinterpreting rasa dance and things like that. So of course he follows the text very closely, but would you agree that Krishna book, there's a little bit extra explanation for the neophyte?
Yes.
In the way Srila Prabhupada does the summary study of the 10th canto.
It's basically a paraphrase of the commentaries
with some of Prabhupada's own realizations. It's pretty traditional. It's based founded on the commentaries, but it's summary study. It's not neither a literal translation of the commentary or just the text. It's more, but what the more is, where the more comes from is largely from the commentaries.
I see.
And additional ideas of Prabhupada's own. So, but it's very effective. You know, it makes the 10th canto accessible.
We used to sell them by the case of
drive-in movie theaters in New York, and they went like hotcakes.
Even if they think it's mythology or something, they still benefit.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned about being, despite what we would like to think, oftentimes we are still attracted to the material world, and there's some. And so I sort of wrestle with a particular thing, which is knowing when something, knowing when to dovetail an attachment versus when to just kind of give it up entirely. You understand? In other words, like, I may have a particular attraction to something, and it may seem like sort of unhealthy in my progress of spiritual life. And so I don't know if I should try to take that particular thing and dovetail it, or whether it should just be sort of renounced entirely. Because sometimes it seems like there's statements that give these things up, and then other times it's sort of like dovetail it, and
it
so it's sort of
on the individual circumstances, and it's hard for us to decide for ourselves which is appropriate. To give something else, give up something or use it instead for Krishna's service, which way to go, because we've got some addiction, some attraction, therefore we may not make a perfectly rational judgment. Mm-hmm. Because we're attracted or because we're repelled, we may make the wrong choice, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We're likely to make the wrong choice. We're likely to go too far in positive or negative in our judgment, because our mind is not clear. So therefore, best to get guidance from someone whose mind is clearer on the matter. If your guru is available for those kind of questions, we can't bother the guru with every little thing and he may not be available, then, other devotees or some senior person you take advice from. It's good to get someone else's opinion about these questions. When there's emotional attachment involved, then it's hard to make a clear decision. Take guidance, whatever form you can get it in. Try to get that good guidance. Take guidance from someone whose mind is just as messed up as yours, or worse, the blind leading the blind. But you try to find guidance from someone who's more sober about the matter. devotees should reveal their hearts to one another and give each other guidance. Bodhayantak parasparam, enlightening one another. That's not just, you know, Hare Krishna.
Can I ask you something?
No, wait one second.
Okay.
It's also on practical matters, this bodhayantak, enlightening, not just on you know, transcendental, you know, relishing of pastimes, but also on practical questions of life. Devotees are meant to help each other this way. Okay.
Yeah,
Gaurav Mohan, your question?
I thought I didn't find any dhoti, but right now I found this, so yes, I can wear it.
Okay, so it's settled. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.